Quick Take Northwest, regional news for the terminally switched on from Oregon Public Broadcasting. This is OPB Radio's Quick Take Northwest. It's Thursday, the 9th of November, 2006. I'm April Baer doing the mopping in the post-election fray. I know there's been a deluge of young people running for office in Oregon this year, but this one just about takes the cake. A freshman at Eastern Oregon University, Kyle Corbin, has just been elected mayor of the town of Union. It's a little city not too far from LeGrand. Get this, he had to run as a write-in candidate because he only turned 18 after the deadline to file for a seat. But he says that since Union only has about 2,000 people, a door-to-door campaign was pretty much all he needed to get it done. The main issue in his favor has been all the sniping that's been going on at Union City Hall.
I've lived here my whole life, and I've seen, you know, people I've grown up respecting, and I've seen those people degrade each other on the street over political issues and get in fights during city council meetings and stuff like that, and it kind of disheartens you to see stuff like that.
Kyle's not exactly your man with a plan. He says he doesn't have any special agenda for Union. First off, he just wants to start fostering respect and tolerance on city council. The tone in Salem is shaping up one day after elections were over. The victorious governor, Ted Kulongoski, held a news conference yesterday outlining his agenda for the next 4 years. Our correspondent Chris Lehman was there and filed this report.
The Democratic governor enters his second term with an advantage he didn't have the first time around. His party controls both the House and the Senate. But Kulongoski says that doesn't mean he has a blank check to do what he wants.
I have an agenda to push forward, which I have been focused on very strongly around education and health care, about renewable energy. I also recognize that the legislature is an independent branch of government, and 90 people have ideas of their own.
The governor is asking for a $6 billion K-12 education budget. That's an increase of 16% over current funding. He's also calling for an aggressive ethics bill to stem influence from industry lobbyists. I'm Chris Lehman reporting.
Ted Kulongoski's not the only one talking agenda right now. Democrats, it appears, have their slim majority in the Oregon House of Representatives, taking 31 seats, while Republicans held on to 29 spots in the House. That means Portland-area Democrat Jeff Merkley is in line to become the first House Speaker from his party since 1991. Merkley says he wants to move beyond what has been a bruising campaign.
We have felt that we did not want to go from extreme partisanship on the right to extreme partisanship on the left. What we wanted to see is people work together. There's many, many bills affecting health care and education and the environment that would pass by two-thirds on the House floor that haven't even been able to get a hearing in committee. Those bills are now going to get a hearing.
Merkley's Republican counterpart, Karen Minnis of Wood Village, appears to have narrowly fended off a challenge from Democrat Rob Brading. As of about 6 o'clock this morning, the Secretary of State's office says she was leading by about 577 votes. No matter what happens with the final tally, Minnis says she's not going to go for a leadership position this time around, making way for house cleaning in the GOP. One of the major contributors to ballot measure campaigns in Oregon this year was Howard Rich, a millionaire who lives out of state. You've heard us talking about him before. Rich also spread his wealth around to other state initiative campaigns, but he lost most of them. Out of the 10 campaigns that Rich sent money to, only two were successful on Election Day, in Arizona and Nevada. Both of them were limitations on the power of eminent domain. Rich poured money into ballot measures 48 and 45 here in Oregon, and both of them lost pretty decisively. Bill Hogan is a researcher with the Center for Public Integrity. He says it's impossible to track down who gave money to Rich's groups because they're all classified as charities.
I think that's a situation that most Americans could not even imagine. 32 years after the Watergate reforms, you could still have money on this kind of scale moving into these states, trying to change the laws that affect millions of people.
According to the Wall Street Journal, Rich's groups donated more than $15 million across 14 states this fall. Oregon voters were in a mood to say no to most of the ballot measures, but local levies did a little better. Christian Fodenvenzel reports.
In Multnomah and Washington County, voters seemed happy to open their checkbooks, passing two library levies, three school levies, a public safety levy, and two large levies to buy up public open space. Metro President David Bragdon says open space levies did well from Troutdale to Hillsborough and Oregon City.
I think whether people live in the inner city or they live in the suburbs, they place a great value on protection of natural areas, and that's true throughout the region, city or suburb.
Bragdon says Metro already has options on several prime pieces of land that they'll now be able to close quickly on. He stressed that there's no intention to buy up farmland and says he'll work with the agricultural industry to make sure that doesn't happen. Christian Fodenwenzel, OPB News.
While voters said yes to about half of the school district issues that were on the ballot this fall, they didn't approve roughly $200 million in funding for community colleges. Bob Silverman is the president of Mount Hood Community College, one of those that lost out. Its $58 million bond issue failed. Silverman says he's encouraged that Mount Hood came closer than ever to passing the bond, but advocates couldn't quite convince the majority.
We just have not got our message across. And when you look at all the goods in the state, of which we were one, that we're not measuring up in the voter's mind to the level where they're willing to invest their tax money.
Silverman says that Mount Hood's 40-year-old buildings have more than $200 million in repair needs, and a child care center may have to be scaled back. Among other community colleges that lost on Election Day, Chemeketa, Clatsop, Rogue, and Tillamook Bay. Speaking of the coast, after this week's flooding prompted emergency declarations for Tillamook and Clark counties, authorities are asking people who suffered any property damage in the flooding to get in touch. Each affected county has its own emergency operations center. Cheryl Bledsoe is with the Clark County team.
What we are actually looking for is to gather information so that we can provide a report to the state of Washington, who then sends that information to FEMA. And then if we meet certain thresholds, there's a certain monetary threshold the state has to meet, then FEMA may make some public assistance available to homeowners either through mitigation grants or loans, and we may qualify for assistance.
Bledsoe says, as with other disasters where FEMA was involved, there's no guarantee that damage will be covered. She hopes that FEMA will make a decision within a few weeks. In addition, only weather-related problems at primary buildings should be reported. Any damage to grounds, landscaping, or outbuildings will not qualify for assistance. One of the latest casualties of the war in Iraq is reportedly a Umatilla tribe member who was born in Oregon. 28-year-old Lucas White was an Army sergeant who'd lived in Yakima, Washington. Family members are telling the Yakima Herald Republic that White died of wounds suffered when his unit was ambushed during a patrol of Baghdad. Relatives say he left for Iraq about 5 months ago, but was scheduled to come home on leave in December. Four more people are supposed to appear in court in Eugene today to formally enter plea changes regarding the investigation that the FBI has been conducting for several years now. The defendants are charged with arsons that took place between 1996 and 2001 that were claimed by the Earth Liberation Front. Six people have already pleaded guilty, agreeing to testify against the others. A 14th person, who was allegedly the leader of the cell, killed himself in jail just before he was supposed to be sent to Oregon to face charges. Well, just when you thought it was safe to pick up the phone again after the campaign calls had stopped, the Lane County Sheriff's Office is suggesting that some folks in the Eugene area should still be on their guard. Some craven ill-doer is making phone calls soliciting money on behalf of the Sheriff's Office. Sergeant Clint Riley says, though, that the Sheriff's Office in Lane County does not make calls of this kind and does not solicit donations. If you receive a call like this, please contact the Sheriff's Office and tell whoever it is calling that you don't give over the phone. In sports news, Zach Randolph continues his resurgence. He scored big last night, 36 points, as the Trailblazers beat the L.A. Lakers 101-90. At the college level, yesterday was the first day of the early signing period for NCAA players. Lake Oswego's standout, Kevin Love, was among those who signed. He's going with UCLA. Love was one of the most sought-after recruits for the class of 2007. The U of O men's basketball team has received letters from guard Cameron Brown and forward Drew Viney. Both are from the L.A. area, and it turns out they're buddies. Oregon State received letters of intent from guard Calvin Haynes, forward Amari Johnson, and a Serbian guy, Ilya Milutinovic. One final note on sports this morning. The winningest coach in Oregon high school football history has died. Dewey Sullivan was 71 years old. His teams at Dayton High and Yamhill County won 5 state championships and are preparing for a 25th straight appearance in the playoffs for the OSAA. Sullivan's career spread over 4 decades and involved 352 wins. Checking out your forecast today, it's a little foggy this morning in western Oregon. We'll have a chance of rain throughout the day, possibly manifesting as thunderstorms on the coast. Gray skies and temperatures in the lower 50s. The Cascades are in for a little snow, 1 to 3 inches falling above 3,000 feet. By the way, tonight on the beaches and headlands of the coast, it's going to be very windy, so batten down those hatches. Central and eastern Oregon will be mostly to partly cloudy today. If there's any sun to be seen, it'll probably be coming out this afternoon. Scattered rain showers and snow falling in the Blue Mountains and the Wallawas above 4,000 feet and on Mount Bachelor above 4,500. Temperatures ranging from the 40s to the mid-50s today. Today's featured music is brand new from Super Double X-Man, fronted by Portlander Scott Garrod. Good songs, as pure as Cheerios, as wholesome as Dr. Bronner's. You know, Dr. Bronner's. The soap with the funny stuff written on the side of the bottle? Ugh, forget about it, just listen.
When the sun goes down and all the lights in town go off, will you be my only star in the middle of a dark, dark night?
I had a chance to sit down for an extended conversation with Scott about the record. If you missed the profile on Morning Edition today, I've got the link up on today's Quick Take page. Actually, Scott's other line of work is pretty interesting. In his day job, he's a music therapist at the Oregon State Hospital in Salem, helping people with serious mental illness on their way to recovery. That story's coming up on Oregon Considered this afternoon at 4:30. Scott's new Super Double X-Man record is coming out this week, and there's a record release party at Acme on Saturday night. In other doings, I see the Doug Fir Lounge is bringing together some of Portland's finest for a tribute to The Clash this evening. Also, Katie Curtis is playing a show in Eugene. Links are up for all the events I mentioned on the Quick Take page. Find them online at opb.org in the radio area. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Signing off from cyberspace, I'm April Baer.
Yeah, the rain, it just keeps falling on my head.